Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for global frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2, and the latest European frameworks like the EU AI Act, DORA, and NIS 2, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Over 8,000 global companies like Synthesia, Flow Health, and Cora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Wondery listeners get a special offer of $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Audible brings your wildest adventures to life, delivering heart-pounding thrills at the touch of a button. Take Richard Osman's The Thursday Murder Club, where four retirees turned amateur sleuths solve crimes in the most unexpected ways, brilliantly performed by Leslie Manville. Ready to unleash your adventurous side? From pulse-racing suspense to epic quests, from supernatural chills to far-off romances, every story comes alive through world-class narration. Explore exclusive Audible originals, chart-topping new releases, and unforgettable bestsellers that transport you from the very first word. Because the next great adventure is just a listen away. Start your free 30-day trial at audible.com/WonderyUK. That's audible.com/WonderyUK.
When a young woman named Desiree vanishes without a trace, the trail leads to Kat Torres, a charismatic influencer with millions of followers. But behind the glamorous posts and inspirational quotes, a sinister truth unravels. Binge all episodes of Don't Cross Kat early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. We just got back from an amazing Texas weekend. So much fun on tour. We are going to be in Vegas this Thursday night at Wise Guys Comedy, Las Vegas, Nevada. You've heard of it. Come see us. Mm-hmm. It's going to be so much fun. Then in June, we're finishing off the tour in Seattle and Los Angeles. Get your tickets over at watchwhatcrappens.com. You can also find links to our Patreon, and that's where you find all of the videos, which are on right now, video recaps. Also, our trailer trash previews, which is where we go over the trailers for new shows and go frame by frame. We just did Miami, Next Gen NYC. What else? We also will be recapping Love Island there starting in June. So go over to Patreon for all of that good stuff.
Well, we did a road trip in Texas and we set up our cameras on Ronnie's dashboard. And so we are going to have our normal road trip bonus episode, which is normally audio. This time we'll have video. So that's very exciting. And I am looking forward to it. I made an animation, because that's what I do these days, and it's really janky and stupid, but I just want to say I'm that excited about our Texas road trip videos.
Yeah, it was a good time. So this will be the next couple of weeks coming up. So join us over at Patreon for those. Happy Mother's Day late to everybody. I got back yesterday morning. I got up early so I could drive back from Dallas and make Mother's Day. Wow, what a Mother's Day. Do you want to hear what happened to me?
I mean, I'm sensing something happened.
It was eventful. Okay, if you don't want to hear a personal story, fast forward 5 minutes, because I have to tell you guys what happened. Okay, so I go to see Sinners, right? Because my mom loves a good horror flick. So do I.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
This has been getting, you know, crazy reviews. It's made all this money. Everybody's loving it. So we go see Sinners. So I live in a lake town, right? And there is the weekends people get shit-faced. I mean, there's some lake trash up in Lake Town, let's just be honest. So these two girls sit in the front row with us. and they are shit-faced. I mean, wild. They've got short shorts, you know, cut up, to, you know, way past their butts. Their butt cheeks are hanging out, which my mother is like, what the hell? Who raised you? But she, you know, she didn't say that. But she's already perturbed. So these girls sit down. They're shit-faced. They're ordering drinks because it's one of those movie theaters where you can just order food and drinks. So they're getting wasted. So they start talking, and I'm like, you know what, Ronnie, don't be a Karen. They're just some girls out having fun. But then they just start having full-on, full-voice conversations in the movie. And this is a very serious movie, you know? So I went, you know, girls, be quiet. Come on. And they're like, sorry. So then they keep talking. So then, like, another half an hour later, girls, come on now. And they're like, sorry. Finally, an hour and a half into this movie, finally the vampires show up. This is a vampire movie. The vampires don't even come out for an hour and a half, okay? So I've got my mom on one side of me going, what kind of vampire movie is this? There's no vampires in it. So she's pissed, and she's like, tell those girls to shut up. So finally I just went, shut up, fuck! Like, I yelled at them. And then they looked at me. Okay, so there's a lot of music in here as well. So she stands up with her beer, and she starts dancing. She's like, yeah!
No.
Singing.
Standing up and dancing at the movie theater like she's at a concert? No.
Like sexy dancing, you know? She's like, yeah! And So finally the vampires are here in the movie. And I'm like, I'm not missing this part. I've been waiting for an hour and a half through all of this drama. I want to see some people fighting vampires, right? So I go out to get the people, whatever. That takes forever too, because there's a line to get to the manager, and I'm like, here I am, a fucking Karen on Mother's Day. I hated that.
No,
I was even
you're not
in
a
this
Karen.
Position. So I get them
this
to finally
totally
come in. After taking like 5 to 10 minutes to get them to even come in, all he does is go over there and go, please be quiet, and then leaves. So of course now they're glaring at me because they know I tattled on them because he followed me right back in there. And now I've already yelled at them, by the way, and cursed them out. So now they're glaring at me. So the credits finally roll. I miss, by the way, everybody getting killed. I miss the whole...
Okay.
Because that happens in 10 minutes.
Enough about the story. Let's not talk about what happened in the movie since I'm planning to see it tonight. But
it's
let's go on.
It's a vampire movie. Like, so I miss all the death and destruction. Okay. So I'm pissed. I'm already pissed. I come back, everybody's dead. Everybody who dies is dead. So I'm already pissed. So then the credits start rolling, and I'm like, these girls are going to videotape me. Because another thing I forgot to mention was after they got in trouble, she starts watching videos on her phone at full volume on the phone with the speaker
of
the phone.
Oh, my God.
So
why didn't you take a video of them? You should have taken a video.
So that's what I did. I started videotaping this girl because I saw her get up at the credits and she just walked like she was watching the credits. I could tell she was kind of nervous, but I was like, this girl's nervous. She's going to totally come over and try and make like some TikTok video of me being a Karen, right? So I start taping her. And you can't really see because it's on my leg and I'm just, you know, being subtle. So sure enough, she comes over. My mom gets up to go pee because my mom's about to beat this girl up. I said, Mom, don't start a public confrontation. I'm already fighting with them. Just go to the bathroom. So she gets up and leaves. So she comes and sits down in my mom's seat and she starts posing. And her friend comes over and starts videotaping us while she's like posing. So I start posing with her and like making kisses to the camera. And so I turned the phone so that she could see that she was being recorded. Well, first of all, I'm filming her friend. And I was like, oh, hey, that's the asshole girl who was drunk in the movie. And now she's wasted and filming me. And then I had to turn the camera around or whatever. So I pressed stop and re-record. And the flash came on because so now I've got the flash in this girl's face. And
she deserves it.
She's like, I just don't understand what I did to you to be such an asshole to me. And I said, oh, I'm the asshole. Do you know how much a movie costs? And I had to sit here and listen to your bullshit and watch you fucking porn dancing to the fucking movie. And then you were singing the hymnals along with the Nazi vampires. Are you fucking kidding me? That's what you got. I was like, you're the asshole in this situation. I'm sorry. You seem very nice. Like, you have every right to go get shit-faced. And I said, and don't feel bad. I've been the drunk girl. That's annoying everybody, okay? I've been where you are many times. But people have told me to shut the fuck up, too. And that's what you got. You got a good shut the fuck up. So she's like, yeah, but you didn't have to be so mean. I said, you didn't have to be so loud. Are you just going to sit here? She goes, yeah. So I'm still filming her, and she's just pouting at me. She's, like, looking directly into the camera, like, pouting. So then the movie comes back on because it's one of those fucking movies where the credits roll, and then there's more movies. And it doesn't take, it's not like a quick little scene, like a Marvel movie. It's a 10-minute scene. And this girl sat there and pouted at me for 10 minutes. It was so awkward then. I couldn't even get to the end of the movie.
This is
her friend
such
was
a
mortified because I'm still filming them both because she's filming me.
I hope you put this on. You should put this online. You have to put this video online. I'm sorry. I need to see this person. She needs to be publicly shamed for talking in the theater like this.
I know. So then the best part is finally it ends. And I'm not going to get up because I'm not going to let her win, right? So I just sat there filming her and she was pouting into the camera the whole time. I don't know if she wanted me to hug her or what. Like, she seemed actually kind of nice. So I get up and she's just staring at me. And I said, well, that was a weird, fun movie, right? She went, uh-huh. And I said, okay, well, I guess we're done. Peace. And like, I gave her deuces and got up and walked off. My dad stays in the theater. Oh my God. With this girl. And he's like, you need to dry out. Like, lecturing. So I go out. My mom's waiting by the tickets. She's furious because she's been there now like 10, 15 minutes. So she's like, where have you been? I've been standing here. La, 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 la. I don't feel good. My back hurts. I'm sitting here waiting for you. And I said, well, that girl tried it with me. So I had to talk to her. And she said, where's your father? I said, he's probably in there telling this girl she needs to meet Jesus. Well, sure enough, 5 minutes later, he comes out holding this girl's hand and she's giggling and girlfriend. Okay. She's like, hee hee hee. And he's like, listen, it's a quick introduction. You know, all you need to do is invite him into your life and you can come with me. You know, we have a great church and it's not stuffy like normal churches. They have a band and, you know, it's great. Just call me and I'll take you. You can come with me and my wife. Come to church. I said, Mom, I told you he was introducing this girl to fucking Jesus and that's what he was doing. He was proselytizing to a drunk girl in the movie Sinners. I can't with these people. Like, you can't make this shit up.
Wow. That is, like, I'm so full of rage against this girl. We literally just talked on our little road trip about, like, why I don't go to the movies that much anymore. It's because people don't know how to behave in them. And this is a perfect example. And when confronted, it's like, why do you have to be so mean? It's like, you're the one who's talking during a movie. Like, you, there are repercussions of these things. I'm begging you, you don't have to post the whole thing. I'm begging you, put a little bit up so people can see who this idiot was. Because it's time. Okay, you know what? I don't care about the movie Sinners anymore. I care about the movie Shamers. Because it is time for people in movie theaters to be publicly shamed for talking, especially for being drunk, especially for standing up and dancing. Like, no. I've had enough. This has to, like, the movie industry has to get behind this because this is making people not want to go to the movies. Is these fucking idiots watching videos during movies and talking. It's enough. Too much. Stop it. It starts with you, Ronnie, shaming this girl on the internet.
Of course, my father is proselytizing. I was dying. He was literally telling her, all you need to meet Jesus is just invite him in. Just come on over to our church. And I was like, Dad, we just watched Sinners. Like, really? You're going to proselytize after that? Oh, my God. Oh, so then the movie theater was like, you were actually really nice about that. So here's some free passes. And I was like, you don't have to do that. And they were like, no, take them, whatever. I'm sorry you had a bad experience. So I leave and I get home and I'm like, I'm going to put these passes somewhere safe so I can actually use them. They're from 2024. They expired in 2024. So that was
those fuckers. Those fuck faces.
That was the cherry on top.
Okay, now it's time for you to publicly shame that movie theater.
No,
let's get do that. Nothing but shame happening today. I am furious. I was in such a happy mood. I was like, oh, sitting down. I was like, oh, what a nice day. I'm recharged. I'm ready to podcast. And now I am full of so much venom. I am so angry right now.
By the time I left, I was cracking up. But the whole movie, I was filled with this rage, you know, because it wasn't just normal talking. It was like, blah, 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 like having full conversations. And they just kept bringing them more and more beers. And you could hear all the beers clinking. I was like, I'm going to kill these girls. So it's this
I would never
movie,
go back to
but
that
I was
theater.
Like stressing out the whole movie.
Yeah.
So Sinners was marred by these girls.
You can't enjoy a movie like that. Like, I would actually, honestly, I wouldn't even go back to that theater because if they're not even willing to really like take care of people who are disrupting it for everyone else, for people who paid money, just that way they can like sell more beers, I'd be like, fuck you. You don't care about me as a patron. So I'm not coming back here. And you're also going to like mollify the situation with expired movie passes. No, thank you. You should shut down. And this is why people are not going to the movies.
Yeah. Well, I just died that my dad was trying to turn her to Jesus' side. I was like, seriously?
I like we have two totally different takeaways. You're like, isn't that crazy? My dad tried to convert her to Christianity. I'm like, I can't believe the movie industry.
It's just so my dad. Like, you know what? Look at this as an opportunity to get somebody else to Jesus. And I was like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, here we are with some Real Housewives of Atlanta.
All right. Well, we begin with some shots of around Atlanta and we're at Kelly's townhouse, and she's in there, and she's got all her daughters in there, and her daughters are like, they're like arranging a meal, and like one of her daughters is like serving very formally, and her other daughter does not appreciate it, and that was very unfortunate. But Chloe is saying that she got some B's, and she's talking about her grades, and Kelly is saying, like, yeah, well, you know, I know, like, go tell your dad, which she starts talking about how she co-parents with Chloe's dad, because her dad is a different dad than everyone else's, and everyone else's dad is a monster, but Chloe's dad is actually, he's actually pretty okay.
Yeah, so they're besties, her and the first dad. And then the kids are serving each other food. She's serving food, and they're talking about the new house that they're moving and their new dog. And Kelly's like, our house is like a sorority house. You know, we get the whole thing. Like, we're just girls living together. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this might be a good time to sit them down and tell them how to behave in sinners. So then
yes,
we see that she's getting a new house because this has been very difficult. They normally have 7,000 square feet. Okay. So it's been very difficult to live in a townhouse. So I'm trying to muster up some tears for them, but they don't come.
Well, and then especially since half that townhouse is filled with waffles. So they're just like, there's just no room for anyone.
She's like, you know what? My ex-husband thought it was inappropriate to be giving my girls round beds, but they're made out of waffles. So,
so we see a little flashback of her talking to a realtor about what she wants. And they're just all, it's just kind of like a me and my girls kind of scene. It's really, really like nothing happens. So now we go over to Verdure and Shamia. Slow motion exit out of her car and walks into the restaurant Verdure, and lo and behold, guess who is there, who has crawled out of the basement? It's Ralph Pittman is sitting there shooting a scene with Shamia.
This is gross, and I don't know why Portia gets all the shit online and Shamia doesn't get the shit online. When Shamia is going out with Ralph, that's a pretty gross move, I think. And don't worry, Portia comes too, so she deserves some of it too. But Portia's doing a tit for tat. I don't know what the fuck Shamia's doing. She says it's okay for her to do it. It's like fine for her to go out with some, like, you know, emotionally abusive stalker ex, because in her case, she's done a podcast with him, but they weren't like doing a podcast. She was guesting on a podcast with him, or I don't know.
And
I don't know what it was.
She even admits that she met Ralph through Drew. Like, this is definitely, I think, a violation of girl code. I mean, Portia obviously gets shit because Portia has made such a fuss about filming. And then here she shows up and Ralph is there, and she can say, oh, I didn't know Ralph was going to be there. But Portia is not like some passive, you know, person on this experience. If she didn't want to film with Ralph, she would have walked out that restaurant. And Portia's totally the type that would do that. So the fact that she sat down there was like, oh, I didn't even know that Ralph was here. It's like, okay, we know what you're doing, Portia. We know.
I do not believe you. But Ralph's like, yeah, you know, since we do this podcast, you know, we did that podcast, you know, with me, Todd, and Ross, I thought of an idea for another podcast I wanted to run by you. It's called Dank. It takes place in basements across the cities.
Yeah. Well, I was also thinking maybe calling it like Kings and Queens Podcast, and it's like Family Feud meets Battle of the Sexes. I was like... Family Feud as a podcast, but Battle of the Sexes. Okay.
How about you have a game show where you go places and people try to figure out what it means? For example, you say, I just went to the beach, and we have to figure out where you really went, you fucking weird stalker asshole. So she's like, well, you know, here's the thing about podcasts. I'm a very rich person. So you really need to think about sponsorship. I'm like, wow, glad we've got Shamia here to explain economics also, of podcasting to Ralph.
Also concepts and why anyone would want to listen to Ralph talk about Battle of the Sexes in a Family Feud format. Okay. Now I love Family Feud. But I have to say, the Battle of the Sexes thing, I think it's just like tired and old. I think that really Jerry O'Connell killed the Battle of the Sexes format for eternity because he tried to get that going. He, for like 20 years, Jerry O'Connell has been like, guys are like this and girls are like this. Am I right, guys? Isn't that crazy? And it's just like, now I'm like, I never want to compare men and women again, ever again. Thanks to Jerry O'Connell. It is over. Ralph, you missed your window.
This ain't King of Queens. Okay. We don't need this. So, Shamia is defending herself because she's been on a podcast, so this is business, you know? And she's like, I'm a concerned citizen, and the people of the United States of Atlanta want to know if Ralph's wife and Dennis are making hot dogs. So, I'm doing it. So then she's... business. Sorry, what'd you say?
I said, it's business.
Yeah, well, she did say marketing, so, or she did say sponsorships, so... huge business meeting. So she's like, let's address the elephant in the room. I met you through your wife, and what's happening now is just heartbreaking. Ralph, it's heartbreaking. And he's like, you know, I just proposed to Drew at 3 months, and then we got married at 5 months, and she's pregnant at 8 months. So, you know, I didn't really have the opportunity to know her. Now, that's the problem. Like, who is this woman? Who is she? Who is she? I've been hoodwinked.
Whose fault is that? You're the one who popped the question. You can't, like, pop the question at 5 months and then be like, I didn't even know who she was. That was your choice. You were so eager to love bomb her and probably to brag that you got Drew Sidora from the Step Up movies, or it was the Step Up or whatever the yard. I don't remember, but she's like, has some degree of fame, and you're probably excited about that. You're going to lock it down without actually getting to know her, without learning the fact that she's a pathological liar, much like you are, in fact. So in many ways, you guys are perfect for each other. But like, I'm not going to feel bad for you that you rushed the situation and then found out later that you guys didn't really understand each other. Like, that's on you. That's why you have to date and wait.
Yeah, and I don't like him insinuating that she rushed him when he's the one who was writing a Parenting a Stepchild book when he'd been co-parenting that child for 5 minutes and then ended up, like, dropping the ball on that, too. So, yeah. You're the rusher, sir. Okay? So,
really channeling a lot of that movie theater rage onto Ralph right now. It feels great.
Ralph sucks. Ralph just sucks. I mean, from everything we've seen of Ralph on this show, I mean, Drew's a dingbat, you know, Drew gets hers too, is. But I mean, Ralph is just a piece of crap. So for them to be like, oh, you know what? Let's bring someone's like somewhat abusive ex onto the show. That'll be fun. It's not, It's just shitty. It's just a shitty move. It's a low move.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Some people get a wild haircut or book a spontaneous trip when life throws them a curveball. But Molly? Well, she dove headfirst into a world of no strings attached sex, secret rendezvous, forbidden affairs, and unforgettable adventures. And together, we tell every juicy detail in Dying for Sex, Wondery's award-winning podcast that's now streaming on a TV near you, starring Michelle Williams and Jenny Slate. And to top it off, we're dropping brand new bonus episodes where I sit down with the cast to spill all the spicy secrets. Desire, friendship, self-discovery, and the ultimate bucket list of pleasure. This is a story that had everyone talking. Listen to the original Dying for Sex and brand new episodes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the original series before anyone else and completely ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Everyone has that friend who seems kind of perfect. For Patty, that friend was Desiree. Until one day...
I texted her and she was not getting the text. So I went to Instagram. She has no Instagram anymore. And Facebook, no Facebook anymore.
Desiree was gone. And there was one person who knew the answer.
I am a spiritual person, a magical person, a witch.
A gorgeous Brazilian influencer called Kat Torres, but who was hiding a secret. From Wondery, based on my smash hit podcast from Brazil, comes a new series, Don't Cross Kat, about a search that led me to a mystery in a Texas suburb.
I'm calling to check on the two missing Brazilian girls.
Maybe get some undercover crew there.
The family are freaking out. They are lost.
I'm Chico Feliti. You can listen to Don't Cross Kat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So She's like, well, you know, oh, he says, well, you know who she's becoming? Like the situation with Dennis and Portia, like that's huge. And she goes, I just didn't understand it. You know, it's just so inappropriate. Is it really? She wants to make songs on GarageBand. So does Dennis. And they did it. You know,
they did it. They strung some loops together, sang about hot dogs and relish, and now they got signed to an internet service where they'll get a rev share. So, you know, they're living the dream. And Ralph's like, yeah, by the way, isn't Drew still working for Portia with like the hair, you know, the go naked hair or whatever? And Shamia's like, well, I don't know that she works for Portia anymore. And in walks Portia to clarify it all.
By the way, he should know this because, you know, Ralph, it came out in these divorce papers. And I guess I should say allegedly, just because that's like invisible protection. But I was just reading on Reddit the unsealing of these papers. Someone was kind of putting together what was in these papers. And basically, he was taking Drew Sidora LLC, which is where all of her money from the shows, all her movies, all of everything goes into this LLC. And he owned half of this LLC. So his money is all Drew's money. It's all money that Drew's making that he's living off of. And Drew took him off of the LLC. She like kicked him off of it. And so he's suing her because he still wants to be taking like half of her money from everything, which he's not earning. She's earning. So that's if anybody out there is doubting what a piece of shit this guy is. And now he's like, wait, wasn't she working with Go Naked Hair? You should know. You fucking furnished your basement with that money.
Yeah, exactly. And we saw in the trailer for the rest of the season that this is going to be an issue, that he locks her out of the house and claims that he actually runs Drew Sidora LLC. So even more proof that he is bullshitting right now. So Portia's like,
okay, so let me give some context. Okay, I am not hanging out with Ralph. Okay, I didn't call him and ask him to come to dinner tonight. I said, Shamia, you should call Ralph and invite him to dinner. That'd be hilarious. But it was not me. Okay, this is not a tit for tat. It's a tit and a tit for a tat. Okay, because he's got a tat and we got a bunch of tits. So that's what it is.
So he's like, oh, disclaimer, I did not know Portia was going to be arriving at all.
And Shamia's like, well, look, I need to have a witness because I'm not going to be the person that Ralph went off with when he disappeared. I'm not that girl. You know, you are that girl. Neither one of you is looking great right now. And Shamia, just to add a little spoiler context through the rest of this episode, Shamia kind of falls down in this episode. This is not a great Shamia episode in general. And it looks like that's going to continue. Not Team Shamia. Mm.
Yes. So Portia is saying how she severed ties with Drew. And Shamia is saying, like, you know what? I'm happy to help out however I can with this podcast. I got you, Ralph. You're paying the bill tonight. And he's like, he's like laughing. And then he's like, realizes that she's serious, even though she has an elevator in her house and like a brand new Bentley that's sitting on top of a Maybach. So
that's what makes me more mad, because I know that ultimately Drew's paying for the bill.
That's true.
He doesn't make any money. So this is all Drew's money that he's spending on these two. So he's like, let's get these ladies a shot. And she's like, Portia goes,
well, just to warn you, I don't really like husbands right now, so you might be catching some strays.
And then she starts talking about Dennis and how Dennis sent a text message. And then we're getting these fragments of text messages that are like, basically Dennis saying, oh, Drew was interested in some, like, I told Drew I wouldn't fuck her, and I told her, just run me my money, I'm not going to fuck you. So, and by the way, let's not act like Dennis is the most reliable narrator either. It's like a whole bunch of idiots going on here creating scandal for themselves. So now Portia shows this to Ralph, and she's under the guise of, like, Ralph should know that, like, everything's okay. She's like, I wanted to stay on the good side of of Drew and the good deeds. I was probably also showing the text to Ralph to really show him that Drew and Dennis had not had sex, because, you know, he was basically telling her, I don't want to have sex. I just give me my money. But this is Portia's way of showing Ralph that Drew was making advances towards Dennis. So as much as that Portia is saying, oh, I want to show them that they'd never had sex, she's actually being shady and outing Drew.
Yes. So she's, but the text she shows says, don't run me that ass, run me my money. But it never said, it never shows her offering ass.
Right. And,
but
it doesn't.
Portia,
but
is making it sound like she's saying she's not going to pay you. She just wants to fuck you instead. Like she's hoeing. She's basically accusing her of hoeing and saying, okay, I'll pay you for all these hot dog tracks with my ass, which never happened. That never happened in here, no matter how much they're going to try to make that sound. And if it did happen, we don't have the receipts yet. So the producer's actually laughing on camera and like, God damn, you're shady, Portia. You know, saying, no, I'm being a good person. So then Ralph's like, well, I heard Drew was sleeping around. You know, maybe it's not with Dennis, but I heard that. And she goes, well, but there's been rumors about you. So are those all true? And he's like, he just pauses for a long time. And he's like, yeah, they're fucking true. Of course they're true with Ralph. And he's like, no. Yeah. And she goes, okay, well, because you heard rumors, that doesn't make it true. And he's like, well, but she had someone else she was with. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Portia's like,
don't use my divorce and say that we're going through the same thing. You got her talking about my child. She was like, I'll make enough money to send Ballard to college.
And Ralph is like, that's what she said. And she's like,
yeah, that's what Shamia said that Drew said.
And so Shamia's like, well, she said it jokingly, I think, just so you know. And Ralph's like, that's very disrespectful. The only thing I care about is my kids. I just want my kids healthy so I could capitalize off of them a little bit more with my book that three people read.
At least I want their knees healthy because I want them to be bringing me food up and downstairs a lot. So knee strength is important.
And she's like, so you never cheated? Have you ever sniffed another woman? And he's like, yeah, of course. Of course I've sniffed. What man doesn't sniff?
Man, just sniffer.
He's like, So then Shamia's like, did you ever cheat on Drew, Ralph? And he's like, classic Ralph. First he's like, well, I mean, what? Are you serious? And then finally he's like, no, I didn't cheat. He just never is able to answer that question cleanly. Like, that's all we've needed all these years is for him to be like, no, of course not. But he always is like, I mean, you already know the answer. You already know what I'm talking about. This is one of the cleanest versions. He only gave a little bit of misdirection before he then mumbles that he didn't cheat.
Right. So then Shamia talks about how she's always in trouble for defending Portia because she's such a good person. You know, but she's going to do it anyway, because that's the kind of friend she is, a good friend. You're the kind of friend to be nice to somebody who's on TV until you get your ass a full peach on TV. And then you immediately turn on said friend to stay head peach on a show. I see you. I see what kind of friend you are. Shamia, yes. I've turned. Yeah. I've turned on Shamia. I don't care.
Okay. So, Shamia then is saying how she eats shit every time she defends Portia to the other women, especially with Angela. And Angela gives Shamia pushback for even just laughing at jokes. So Portia's just there and she's like, okay, well, whatever. Shamia's like, okay, well, thank you so much for dinner, Ralph. Because basically the two of them just start talking and ignoring Ralph. And Ralph's like, hey, I'm still here, guys. Do you remember me? They're like, oh, yeah, we forgot. Oh, thanks. You can pay for this. Bye.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to get dessert before we leave. So then we go over to Angela's investment property in Riverside. And she's like, well, you know, I own 5 investment properties and they're ready for sale mostly. But I'm hearing that the listing prices haven't been the most welcoming. And I'm in debt $2 million. So I'm a deep shit, basically. I mean, lower the price.
Yeah, lower the price.
You're charging a little too much. Nobody's paying $3 million for the house you're in right now. I'm telling you that much because we see it. And it's not bad, but it's not. It's not $3 million. I'm sorry. It's just not. And I like that Kelly comes over and she's like, cozy. When someone walks in and says, this is cozy, that's not a $3 million house.
Yeah, that's her way of saying, oh, well, this is cute that you put this on the market. Okay. Yeah, that house was not $3 million. Okay, especially because everything we hear about Atlanta real estate is that you get these giant McMansions and they cost like $1.1 million, $750,000. So the fact that there actually was a house that was $3 million and it would look just kind of like a ranch home. Not a ranch home. Yeah, maybe a ranch home, like a single-story ranch. I was like, this feels like it might be overpriced, Angela.
Yeah, so Kelly's looking at the house, and she's like, I feel bad about what I said about their secret baby. I hope she's not going to tie me up in the basement. So then they're looking around, and Kelly's like, there's no water in that pool. And they go into a bedroom, and she goes, oh, this is an okay bedroom, so there's no closet in the bedroom? And she's like, don't come for me like that, please.
Trying yeah, to nothing's sell this finished. Out. There's like sticky notes where there's supposed to be like an oven or a fridge. And she's like, $3 million.
Yeah. She's like, oh, don't pay attention to those. Those are my sticky notes, my stickies. So then this is where Kelly's like, well, this is cozy. So fresh and very cozy. Let me just say cozy again. Oh, you look very pretty today, Angela. And so now they're having the talk. So Kelly is talking about her family, but then we move on to Angela's marriage, and she's been together with Charles almost 10 years. He's the best friend she's ever had, and that's why she's surprised when it came across that Kelly acted like she knows something about her marriage. So what do you know, Kelly?
Kelly's like, well, no, I'm sorry if it came off a certain kind of way. You know, I don't know how we'd talk to you and ask that and be like, well, I mean, he's got a baby, right? And she's like, well, okay, this is okay. Here's how it all happened. We were at an event. He was hosting it with Wendy Williams. And, you know, Wendy's husband was in the news for having a baby. So I went up to Wendy and I was like, it's only a baby. You know what? Even if it's true, it's just a baby. It's just another living soul who someone will have to take care of the rest of their lives. That's it. Nothing forgive major. Him. It's like just having a stick of gum.
Forgive him. It's just a baby.
Just a baby.
And Wendy said, what, has that ever happened to you? And she said, yes, it has. And then Wendy took that to mean as it happened with Charles, but she was saying it happened with her other guy, with her first guy. So she met her daughter's father. So then Angela is like, yeah, you know, there's an article about it. And Charles doesn't even care about that. But I'm like, well, wait a minute. People really think this now. So it would be nice if you cared. And then we see a headline from The Sun that says, it's just a baby. Wendy Williams claims NBA legend Charles Oakley's wife told her to stay with her ex after love child scandal.
Yeah, so Kelly's like, oh, I'm so glad you cleared that up. Bitch, marriage is hard. And Angela's like, yeah, and then there's also the groupies. And she says, you know, there was infidelity. And after that whole Madison Square Garden issue that happened, the scandal, like he went through a hard time. And she's like, I'm not making excuses for him, but I feel like he needed to feel validated. And so we took a break. And, you know, I'm very transparent about the growing pains in our relationship, the good, the bad, the in-between, the waffles. No, no waffles for us. But marriage is work, and you have to both put in the work and yada, yada, yada. So she is pretty transparent. So I kind of do feel like if there was a baby, she'd be like, I think she would say it, because her everything in her life is actually pretty messy to the point where, like, I don't think she would cover up a baby.
Yeah, I don't either. So Angela's saying, okay, well, now let's talk about Shamia. So I was becoming friends with Shamia, but then, you know, I don't think it went right recently. But we were having private conversations with regards to Portia. And, you know, after we got done listening to Shamia's single, we decided to go out to dinner. And Shamia said she was starting to have issues with Portia. So Angela is basically coming into this episode swinging. She's like, okay, here's what I could do. Everybody's coming for me on this show. So I could either lie down and be a victim and just take it, or I can fuck every one of these women up. And that's what I'm going to do. So she comes back and she's like, Shamia and Portia's friendship is fake, and Shamia secretly hates Portia. Run with that. Be gone. Yeah. Also, mention that this $3 million house is ready to go.
I know. She is in full bone collector mode, and she is ready. I love when she said, you know, after we got done listening to Shamia's single, which was her way of saying, that was the worst 3 minutes of my life. I sat down and listened to this single that's going nowhere because she's aged out of popular music. So I don't know how she even thinks that she's going to have a hit on the radio. But I sat there and I listened to it. Then we went to dinner, and then, on top of that, she laughs along with Portia's jokes in Nashville. Can you believe that? After I listened to her single. That's kind of what she's saying.
Yeah, so she's like, well, Shamia doesn't want to just be Portia's sidekick, but now they have to put on her big girl pants.
to fight with Portia. So then we go to Brent's house. My mommy's moving and I'm so excited.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't know what to do. Because, like, normally, like, Mike and Mike always walk around half naked. And now my mom's moving in. So, you know, Mike's asking how everything's going with the girls. And she's saying she's not seeing eye to eye with anyone or even Angela. And then we get a flashback to last week where Angela's like, you have the mouth of a whore.
Well, Britt, I like that how Britt makes herself the hero of every story. She's like, well, we weren't getting along and moving forward. I just don't know what happened with Angela. Maybe that you started talking shit to her in front of everybody else, like for no reason, yeah, when you weren't even part of the conversation. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we see clips of that with the stretch marks around your mouth. You're a whore, Britt. You're a whore.
So Mike explains that he's going to be having lunch with Britt's sister, Cher. And then Britt's talking about how, like, when Mike came around, it put a wedge in the family because Cher saw Mike as taking her away. And literally no one cares. No one cares about Britt and her sister drama. They're just three increasingly uninteresting people.
Yeah, I mean, it's enough to be talking about Britt's drama with her sister, but now we have to watch the husband and the sister make up? No.
No.
So she's like, finish your matcha. And he says, it's just green milk.
Wow. So then we go to another investment property.
I'm not drinking that.
Yeah.
It's just green milk.
Also, why does he, like, I also love, like, why he feels the need to protest the matcha in that moment. Just be like, okay. Be like, whatever. It's just green milk. Like, yeah. It's milk with matcha. It's green milk. Drink it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
We go to another investment property from Angela. This time she's meeting up with Portia to do the age-old Bravo tradition of bad tennis on TV.
Yes, and she says, well, I'm excited to add Portia to my investment property because under no circumstances do I want someone who says they're going to fuck my husband in my home. She's only getting the rental, which is so fucking funny. She's only going to be able to go to the investment property. She hasn't earned the right to come to the real house. Like, she's not going to get to smell those freshly frying Brussels sprouts.
Yes. So, which, by the way, like, Charles is cooking so much food. Let people come over, even if they said they want to sleep with him. Otherwise, it's just going to go to waste. So they go. They start playing tennis and everything, and they're having fun back and forth. And Portia's like, Angela's a bad bitch. As soon as I met her, I liked her. As long as her and I come to some sort of understanding, maybe we can form a friendship. That way, she doesn't have to be just friends with Drew. Ugh.
Yeah. So they play tennis crazily. And then they sit down to have a talk. Dun, dun, dun. They start with talking about how her daughter got married without telling Angela. And she's like, she just did it because I'm a helicopter mom. So I guess it's my fault, really, in the end. And she's like, well, that reminds me of my Porsche, my pampered by Porsche party. She's like, okay, I guess we'll move to that now.
Yeah, exactly. And Angela's like, oh, by the way, is there a conversation with Drew that can be had? She's like, well, the opportunity kind of fell in my lap because I went to dinner with Shamia and Ralph was there totally unexpectedly.
Yeah, you know, I got a text from Dennis and it looked like Drew saying she was trying to sleep with Dennis and Dennis told her, no, just run me my money. And Angela's like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Then she goes, and this is why I won't have Portia in my actual home. She needs to learn couth.
Yeah. So she's saying she wants to get Drew's side of the story because she doesn't want to believe that Drew would actually do something like that. So Angela's like, well, I've learned so much from talking to Drew. And Portia's like,
yeah, but I think it's important and only fair for me to talk to her too and hear it for her to hear my side. Then come to your own conclusion.
So Angela's like, okay, you want to hear my conclusion? I can fix this. That's what I think. She's like,
no. That's not the conclusion I was looking for. Okay. What did she talk to you guys about?
And she said the money that Dennis earns can be contributed to a college fund for Pilar. And she's like, well, that's not how Shamia said it. She said, I'm about to make so much money I can even send Pilar to college. So what? It's the same thing. I don't understand what
Well, one way sounds like it's altruistic. Even though it's the same thing, the tone of one way is like, I can help. This is actually like a really good thing. And the other way is like, who needs Portia when I could be the new mama? So Portia is mad about this. And so now Angela's like, no, it wasn't said like that. Okay. It was much more like chill. And we see a flashback and it was an overstep by Drew, but it wasn't like super flagrant. But when she said it was enough that we all flagged it like, oh, this is going to get back to Portia and she won't be happy.
Well, just because you mentioned the kid at all, because once you mention the kid, then it's like, how dare you speak about my child? But she didn't say anything bad about the kid. She said, oh, really? Well, Portia's mad. Well, this could make so much money. It could fund her college or at least contribute to some snacks, which we see her say. So then Angela's like,
It will not contribute even to a snack. This is not contributing to a Nutter Butter or a Malamar. This music is not generating many pennies.
I don't know. It was in the top five on the R&B chart. So I don't know. I don't know how much money you get from that, but it did pretty well from what we saw when we looked it up last week. So Angela's like, well, you know, I did talk to Callie and she said there was a time when Shamia thought you didn't want her in this group. And she's like, but what? I vouched for her. And like, I showed her a list of the wives that I would want as a Dreamcast and she was on it. But I just told her your husband doesn't want to film. And I explained to her that that might be a problem. So she's like, well, but I talked to her and it seems like she thinks this is a lopsided friendship and she doesn't want to be seen as Portia's lapdog, which you can tell by the last scene in which she orchestrated a scene to make Portia's enemy look bad. So that Portia can look good. It's like, you're doing a great job, Shamia.
Yeah. So Portia gets overwhelmed with emotion and she sort of hides behind a fan that she's holding. And she's crying. And Angela's like, there, sort of attempts to be comforting. And Portia's like,
me and Shamia have had way more one-on-one time than she's ever spent with these girls. So I thought if we ever had an issue that we would just band together and nothing could come between us.
I'm like, yes, nothing will come between you except Bravo, the great destroyer of friendships, marriages, and really everything sacred. So congratulations on your former friendship.
So then we go over to Drew's house. She's feeding the kids and stuff. And then she has not told the kids about divorce yet because they're court ordered by the judge not to tell the kids. I don't think the judge can court order you not what you tell your kids. I've never heard of that, but whatever. So her kids are in therapy because they don't want to damage the kids. Are they in ear therapy? Because I've heard your songs.
Yeah.
You're damaging them. So, okay. At the very least, they're going to have like hot dog tinnitus. Get them some help.
We are the hot dog. We are the hot dog. We are the relish. So speaking of therapy, Drew is going to meet with her therapist who has now been downgraded to life coach. It's Bravo's great self-help guru, Dr. Ken, who is now FaceTiming in to give some more questionable assistance to Drew.
She's like, oh my God, I know I haven't seen you for a long time. And he goes, that means that you're doing better. No, it doesn't. Since when does just skipping therapy all the time mean you're doing better? It means you're not making an effort, right? Like me.
So Drew is like,
I'm happy with my mental disabilities. Leave me alone. I already have medicine for this. It's called food. Okay. Now please leave while I eat my emotions.
It's called yelling at bitches at sinners. That's how you get it out. Okay. I think if everyone, that's the real therapy right there. So Drew is like, you know, I was told yesterday that Ralph was out with Shamia and Portia. And we see a flashback. And Drew has now met with Angela and Kelly because Angela's meeting with everyone and telling everyone what everyone just said at the last the last scene. It's Angela's like I'm getting whiplash from this.
Yeah.
Like I had to like sometimes I had to like mentally be like, okay, so Angela met with this person and then off camera and now just told Portia this on camera. And then she met with more people off camera to talk about what she told Portia about what happened off camera somewhere else. And now we're back on camera talking about what Angela said. I'm like, okay, I think I got this straight.
You can say whatever you want about Angela, but you can't say that she doesn't work because she works. She's like, all right, I'm taking a paycheck. I will fuck everybody up. So Drew's like, oh, it used to be that I had no tears to cry, but now I'm at a point where I'm having tears throughout this process over Ralph. And Dr. Ken's like, that's progress. Why do people go to Dr. Ken? Has Dr. Ken ever given anybody good advice? You went to Dr. Ken for marriage counseling. How'd that work out? You're getting divorced, okay? Everybody who's gone to Dr. Ken has gone through pure misery. It's never worked. It's like going to celebrity rehab. Has that ever worked for literally anybody? No.
Yeah, I think Dr. Ken is one of the least effective Bravo therapists out there. And there are a lot of ineffective Bravo therapists. Actually, they're pretty much all ineffective, except for maybe the one who got Erica to get a little bit closer to the idea of empathy.
I would say that totally Erica's is probably the best that we've seen on Bravo.
Yeah.
She's one of the only honest ones. I mean, that's not pizza party behavior, Erica. Is one of the best pieces of therapy we've ever heard on this show, on these shows.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to give some extra credit to one of Jax's therapists who wasn't helpful because no one can really fix Jax, but she was honest in showing her utter dismay and disgust for him on camera when he was, like, talking, spewing bullshit. And she just sat there on Vanderpump Rules just scowling like, this piece of garbage. Why am I wasting my professional degree on him?
Well, also who did that was Craig's therapist on Southern Charm. She was really good. Mm. When he's like, I'm an amazing liar. I just lie all the time and it's so good nobody ever catches me. And she's like, why? Why do you? Then we never saw
her. But Dr. Ken actually believes he's making an impact when all he does is very little. So
the other ones were just disgusted. You know what I mean? But Dr. Ken thinks he's helping.
He really does. So he's like, so you don't have anything going on with Dennis? And she's like, right. And he's like, so you can't control what anyone else says. You can only stand on what you know. And what do you know? Nothing. Great. All right. That'll be $500. So now we go to elsewhere, moving elsewhere in Atlanta, upbeat music, etc. And we're finally at the Pampered by Portia event. It's an event that... apparently only people from this cast have been invited to, and Lauren, of course.
So it turns out like, oh, sorry, yeah,
no, I was gonna say this felt like a pretty like this event was mentioned late in the episode, and I feel like I think this event was only whipped up in the past 24 hours because this is just like the cast going to a rented space, right?
Yeah, and this is the typical, like, I said I'm going to have an event, but I'm really suckering the cast into doing promo for my for my line yes. And not paying them. It's one of those events.
Yes.
So they're all, and I was excited when I saw it because everybody's in lingerie and stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, that was one of the best Atlanta episodes of all time. The pajama party, you know,
right.
That was a good one. But this was not that. This was just like Pampered by Portia. They were all dressed in lingerie to do a photo shoot. So they come. And then what even makes it worse is you're going to try and have a meditation session with Lauren as the person who's... I don't want Lauren. Lauren needs her own meditation. What do you think it's like working for Portia? Heal thyself.
I think it's time for Lauren and Mal to have their own spinoff. Just the sisters of... And they could just do boring things together. So Portia is like,
I want to be taken seriously as a brand, which is why I invited no one to this event except for my castmates.
I mean, she had rented this cavernous space, but not cavernous, but it feels cavernous because it's a whole big ass space and there's like six people here and it's empty and echoey and awkward. So, but she wants to be taken seriously as a brand. And, she's like,
for a long time, I was identified solely as a wife and that really held me back. But now I put that title down and picked up the one that's going to pay the bills. Pampered by Portia sheets.
I mean, listen, sure. I love to lie down, but I don't get it. I still don't really get it. So then Drew's like,
did we see sheets? Did we see sheets at this event, by the way?
I don't know. Were they posing on a bed or something? I forget what they were posing on. There's a lot of lingerie. I mean, if you're selling lingerie, that's good because everybody looked great. They were all wearing like crazy lingerie, but yeah, I don't know. So Drew's like, wait, this is a photo shoot? Like, is this for our personal Instagram? Or are we ambassadors for Pampered by Porsche? Because I never signed a contract for that. And I know she made good money with me on Go Naked. I knew this was a setup.
Yeah, it is a setup. It truly is. So Porsche's saying, you know, at some point you just need to stop arguing and moving forward. And she's decided that she's going to move forward, which is called growth. I'm like, okay, well, I will look forward to seeing the footage of you moving forward with any of your feuds. I'm sure that will happen someday.
I will be nice to everybody today so I can tag them in this Instagram post and get more views. And then I will go back to shit later. So she's saying she wants to confront Shamia, but she doesn't want to do it today. And she needs to set it aside because she doesn't want to fight with Shamia here or have any strife with her. So meanwhile, Kelly and Shamia sit in a separate room. And Kelly's like, well, I was a bit disturbed about what Drew said about you, Shamia. And then we see a flashback to Drew saying, well, Shamia said I need to put on my big girl panties and bark up the right tree because she's been Porsche's lapdog for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And Angela clutches her pearls and laughs. So then Shamia's like, she's like, okay, well, carry on with that narrative. And Kelly's like, I can understand why she said that, but I can also understand why that came about just from, like, you know, Porsche and Angela having a conversation. Angela said Porsche was in tears. And Shamia's like, about what? She's about you and about how you always run and tell certain sides of stories. And basically you're up Porsche's ass.
So then Shamia's like, I love Porsche. She's like a sister. And I can't believe she allowed a conversation about me to be had and then not even mention it to me. That really hurts. We've seen many seasons of people talking shit about Porsche and Shamia just laughing and kind of joining in with them. Have we not? I mean, I think we have. But she's maybe doing the whole, you have let them have a conversation about me, didn't say anything. How dare you?
You had a conversation about Porsche. Right. You were literally venting about Porsche, you know, and you vented to people you didn't know very well. So it was inevitable that that was going to go back to Porsche, you know.
She's
and
like,
I understand.
I'm so mad that Porsche had a conversation with people about me venting about Porsche to those people. Like, are you listening to yourself?
It's the classic sidekick wants to get main character energy, and it always creates huge ripples because the main character, the one that the sidekick is attached to, never wants to lose their sidekick. And then the sidekick always looks then kind of like they're like a social climber or something. So then they get a lot of flack, and then they're just trying to get their way. And it usually leads to the best drama, but neither of them can understand why there is drama in the first place. Because the sidekick's like, I'm just being mistreated. And the main character person's like, I always treat my sidekick well. Why does she want to stop being my sidekick? So that's what they're going through. The classic reality show sidekick main character breakup.
So now Lauren leads them through meditation, which sounds painful. Lauren, stay away from my stay away from my brain. Okay, you've numbed it enough by being on this show for 10 years. Leave me alone. So Shamia will not meditate. She's just sitting up. Everybody else is lying down and going through the thing, but she's refusing to do it because she's upset. She's very hurt. So Kelly's like, are you going to meditate? She goes, you're messing it up. And she's like, well, but you're not meditating. And she goes, well, I was told if I felt comfortable to lie back and close my eyes, but I do not feel comfortable and I do not feel peace. Because somebody is hurting my peace, and she's right over there, pampered my Porsche.
Yeah, and so so she's doing this very dramatic anti-meditation thing, and Porsche keeps going, shh. She's literally shushing her, which is also not helping the meditation, but it was, you know, it felt not unlike what I imagine your experience at Sinners was like.
So Shamia's like, well, she might not feel peace either now. Might be choking her. And Kelly's like, release your feelings. That's what you're supposed to do. So now Shamia's like, well, was she talking shit? And Kelly says, well, basically everything that you told Angela, Angela went and told Porsche. I'm sorry to be the one to have to tell you this at this very important meditation center. done by some girl who doesn't know what she's doing. And Lauren's like, let's let loving kindness linger as much as possible. Peace never comes as close as it does when you're wrapped in a pampered by Portia's sheet. Am I right?
So she's basically like, okay, so I told you guys how to talk to each other. So talk to each other in therapy speak. So Angela's like, Miss Portia, may I speak with you?
And Portia's like, sure.
I just want to say that I appreciate your apology the other day. And you know, we're not going to get along all the time, but I hope that we can do more. Do you receive that? And Portia's like,
I receive that. And I'm glad that we're both hopefully moving forward towards a future friendship because I think that's possible.
So everyone's like, yay.
Yeah, so then Kelly's like, well, I want to talk about a woman I admire. I admire both Shamia and Portia. You have such a good friendship. And I want Portia and Shamia to have a conversation about Shamia talking about Portia, and then Portia finding out and talking about Shamia, and then Shamia getting mad, and now Portia's mad, and everybody should fight. Okay, let's do that. Let's do that instead. So Portia's like, I received that. And Shamia's like, wait, who said that I said something? Because I haven't even talked yet, Portia. So let me talk about my feelings. And she's like, well, Angela and I spoke yesterday about Shamia. And apparently Shamia's a best friend and I'm a bad friend. And that was a conversation. And Lauren's like, how did that make you feel? How did hearing that make... Lauren, whoever gave Lauren a talking stick, take it back.
Portia's like, it makes me feel like shit. It saddens me. And Shamia's like, I've never been the one to talk about my quote-unquote friends behind their back, even though I did in this case. So anything that was brought back to her that allegedly brought her to tears yesterday has not been communicated to me. So no one has communicated to me about what I communicated to them first, that they have not communicated back to me about what I said the first place. What are you talking about? You said it. Why does anyone have to go back to you to say, hey, just so you know, you said this thing? It's like, no, you said it. It got back to Portia as you should have known it would.
And so now we're down to the real meat of the issue, which is that Portia didn't go to Shamia's wedding in Kenya. So Portia's like, well, you said that I didn't come to your wedding and that Shamia said I also didn't want her to come on the show. And I didn't say that. And Shamia's like, well, yeah. And I asked you about that and you showed me your receipts of how you did not say you wanted me to only be a friend of, but how you wanted me to be a housewife. Okay. So I did bring it up to you and you proved it wrong. So anything that these girls have said that I've said about you, I've said it to you to your face. And Britt goes, let it out, Shamia. Let it out.
Shamia's like, I'm not an angel for sure, but if you come to me and try to have a conversation about Portia, I shut it down. Have I not? Unless the conversation was started by me and was behind Portia's back. But other than that, I shut the conversations down. And Kelly's like, you definitely tell him. Portia's like, well, how is that not reciprocated? No one has said anything about you in this room. My energy that is supposed to be a safe space to have a conversation. So when it comes to what Angela said, what would make you question your friendship and or attack it? It's like, well, you didn't shut down Angela saying stuff. So you can't act like you shut it down. I mean, they're both a mess.
Well,
so
but Angela wasn't talking shit about Shamia. She was just saying what Shamia said about Portia, right?
Oh, okay. All right. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So then Angela's like, well, Shamia, I feel like you're afraid to say things that are bothering you. And I never would have, like, I would have never known Portia didn't come to your wedding. You know, and Portia's like, well, for the record, I didn't go to her wedding in Kenya because a couple of months prior to that, we weren't speaking. OK, but before you said you didn't go because you got a doctor's note because you couldn't sit and coach.
Something like that.
Yeah. She's and... like, I can't sit and coach. The doctor gave me a note that said I would be too squished.
I think, by the way, it's fully reasonable to be like, yeah, I can't go to your wedding in Kenya. I think that like when a wedding is out of the country in general, it's always, if someone says like, I'm sorry, I just can't make it, I think that's okay. I really do. Even if it's your best friend, it's just a schlep. You have to go to a whole other country. Like, especially Kenya's far. Okay. I got invited to a wedding in Pakistan once. I was like, have a great time. I can't make it. It's just too much work. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's too far. I'm trying to look. I'm going to say flight
especially
time.
Especially if you weren't talking beforehand. Like, I understand if it's like, but you're my best friend. You got to come to Kenya. Fine. But like, if you guys weren't talking in the months leading up to the wedding, then you really can't expect someone to schlep all the way to Kenya.
It takes a whole day just to get out there. It takes 19 hours to get
there. Also, Portia hates Kenya. they've had a rivalry for many seasons. They only just buried the hatchet, and now Kenya's not even on the show. Why would she even go to a country that reminds her of her biggest rival?
I'm not going to that house down in a gutter. It's too far down a hill.
So, but now we find out the real reason is that she and Shamia were on shaky ground anyway and hadn't been talking, so why would she go? And Shamia's like, but you didn't tell me that. She goes, I did. I told you I couldn't sit in the front seat, which I think she means private class or something. And Shamia's like, well, I didn't know we even had an issue. And she goes, but then when we started speaking, it was too close to the flight leaving. And by the time we started speaking, I was in your traditional wedding that was here in Atlanta. Okay, so you had two weddings, and you know they were both giant because she's rich as fuck. So I think that's okay. You just go to the local one. Now, it's not okay to keep lying about why you're not going, I guess. Just say, right. Kenya's far. I don't want to.
Now, all this being said, I do want to say, I think the wedding thing is not a strong point for Shamia. But I think Shamia probably has a pretty good list of stuff where she has been kind of either overshadowed by Portia or Portia's sort of like shat on her. Like, for instance, Shamia at the beginning of the season had this whole big party. Portia shows up super late, and not only that, walks in right when during like Shamia's big moment. And like Portia also shat on Shamia doing her single. So like there is a pattern of Portia being like, you're my sidekick, and I'm always gonna remind you that even when you have a big moment to shine, I'm gonna somehow like undermine it. So I do feel like Shamia probably has a strong case here, but I don't feel like the wedding is the strongest point for her to make here. Even though I think the stuff
you said is a strong case, but she's not bringing that stuff up. You know,
yeah. So this is what she's actually kind of messing up.
Because
this would actually be a good time.
Evidence, I'll agree.
Yes, we have decided. Like, in fact, I think that's what was frustrating is that this would be the time to bring that up to say, "Look, I love you, but there are times when I feel like when I'm trying to shine, you undermine me," and then bring this piece of evidence in, and I think it's like a case closed.
Well, Portia, she gets a better argument as we come, but this whole like, I've never allowed anyone to talk about my friendships, and apparently that's not reciprocated. What I think that's stupid.
That's a weak point. That's weak.
And that's also not true because you've been talking about your relationship to everybody. That's the point. So it doesn't make any sense. And Angela's like, and you don't feel like Portia hears you? And she goes, well, she heard you loud and clear, but she won't listen to me. So now she's mad. I don't like this. So she goes, well, how'd you all become so close where now our friendship can be discussed? And you were at odds with her, but now you can discuss our friendship. And so Portia's like, well, wait, why were you all attacking our friendship in the first place? And Angela goes, because it's laid out on a silver platter.
Cynthia's like, oh, I really hate when the circle breaks up friendships. It's really sad to see. You're the one who came back to this show, okay? Settle down. So Cynthia says that their friendship is deep. They've known each other since they were children. And, you know, somewhere Andy Cohen's like, yeah, I can't wait to destroy it. So Shamia's like, there's a lot of hurt and it's okay. I don't expect to have resolve right now. I've just always chosen to give grace. Oh, come on. You were being messy. You were complaining about Portia, and now it's come back. You like stop trying to take the high road here.
Yeah, and Portia says, well, thank you for your grace. And she goes, oh, so you're going to be sarcastic now. And she goes, no, I'm a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit. That's cool. So it's like a passive aggressive off. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. But as we know, they're not friends after the season. So I guess this gets worse. But if this is what this entire fight is built on, it's kind of weak. I mean, I guess we'll just have to see. It looks like they have a sit down next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually don't think it's weak. I just think that the wedding thing is not so strong. But it sounds like, I think that really what it is that Shamia is coming into her own and Portia doesn't like it. Shamia also has built up resentment and is torn between wanting to confront Portia about it and wanting to be the person who's bigger than it. And I think it's just a shit show that's brewing. And I'm surprised they waited so late in the season to start kind of like emphasizing the storyline. Because we're shockingly enough, we're like 10 or 11 episodes already into the season. I keep thinking we're like on episode 6, but we're really pretty deep in it.
Yeah. Here we are.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Deep thoughts by Ben.
Atlanta.
That's it, everyone.
Well, next week we get a scene of their sit down, and it doesn't look like it goes very well. Shamia versus.
No.
I don't know. I just think with this whole thing, we've never really seen Portia talk shit about Shamia. We've seen the stuff, like you said, about her being shitty or shady about the song, and the wedding stuff was years ago. But then the the other stuff that happened this season, like we've seen, or her showing up late and, you know, being a diva during the car reveal or whatever. Like, we've seen stuff like that, but we haven't really seen Portia talking shit about Shamia. And we haven't seen Shamia say anything really mean about Portia, but we have seen her say over and over that she doesn't like being called Portia's lapdog and this and this and that. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. It's just sad that such a relationship can go that far off the rails based on this. Like, I don't like that you talk to somebody about our relationship. I think that's weak. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see where it goes.
I see what you're saying. I see what
you're
saying,
Ronnie. They need to get Phaedra in here already. Jesus Christ. How long does it take to sign her? Just get her over here.
I know. It's taken a very long time. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens with that relationship. And thanks, everyone, for being here. And we'll catch you on the next episode.
And bye, everybody.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no Trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Ringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifah.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.